All this week, we're talking about the next big thing, who or what to look out for in 2008 in sports and music. Today, at the movies, 2007 was a big year for Hollywood with the summer of three-peats. This year, it may be the summer of 3D. Tim Burton, U2, maybe even George Lucas have plans for upcoming 3D releases. Imagine Darth Vader literally in your face. Of course, the writer's strike could have an impact on the movies this year as well. What are you looking forward to at the movies in 2008? The films, the actors, the technology, the trends, maybe. Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email talk@npr.org, and you can give us your predictions on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And whenever we talk movies, we invite in our pal Murray Horowitz, director and COO of the American Film Institute Silver Theater and Cultural Center in Silver Spring, Maryland, here in the Washington, D.C. area. Murray, nice to have you back with us in 3A.
It's great to be back in a new year.
Happy New Year.
Thanks.
And so you wanted to talk in particular, I think, about movies you have to put on funny glasses to see.
Well, I mean, you know, I should know more about this process than I do. I think some of the new processes don't even require funny glasses. But I think that there have been some technological trends that have been bubbling up, and they'll only accelerate and maybe even hit for real in this coming year, or certainly in the next 2 years. One of them is digital cinema, which has been, you know, quietly sort of taking over projection. I think just 4 years ago when our theater opened, mm-hmm. we had 6% of all the digital cinema equipment in the nation in the AFI Silver Theater here. And now there must be, oh, I'm guessing 4,000 screens with digital cinema projection.
And when you talk about digital cinema projection, you're getting away from cans of film,
yep.
and talking about, what, playing a disc?
Well, you can play a file. You can play it. We play films off of hard drives. But there's talk of, you know, downlinking films just like you downlink radio programs and from satellites. It's not happened yet. There was an attempt this year, a recut of Blade Runner, but eventually they had to strike 35mm prints of it. But that's just, it's just a matter of time, Neil. Mm-hmm. And as you said, 3D's happening. There's going to, that may not really hit till 2009. James Cameron has a big project in preparation, and that's already got a lot of buzz.
I think that's a Titanic operation project. Anyway, there was one big movie that did come out in 3D. Well, it came out late last year, and that, of course, was Beowulf. Let's take a listen.
We come seeking your prince, Hrothgar, in friendship. They say you have a monster here. They say your lands are cursed.
Is that what they say?
Bards sing of Hrothgar's shame from the frozen north to the shores of Vinland.
There's no shame to be accursed by demons.
I'm Beowulf. I'm here to kill your monster.
And I went to the movies, did get a funny pair of glasses, and you could see the spittle coming right out of the screen right towards you.
And it's, so I guess there are glasses. And if Beowulf's here, can Piers Plowman be far behind? I don't know. But there was also a recut of Tim. You mentioned Tim Burton as the Nightmare Before Christmas, the 3D Nightmare Before Christmas, which came out, I think, even in IMAX and 3D. Mm-hmm. And that was rather successful as a release in those on those limited screens that could play that kind of thing. There's a Journey to the Center of the Earth in 3D that's scheduled. So these are some, you may see some technical things, innovations, really, at the movies in the
next sort of, years. I mean, 3D was like a Cinerama, one of those sort of technological fads. I mean, there's that great postcard picture, I'm sure everybody's seen it, of people looking at the screen,
right,
all in their red and green glasses.
Yeah, it's. I think what happened was, and this, I am at best an amateur film historian, but I think what happened was television sort of freaked the studios out in the late 40s. And as it started to catch on, not only did they give away dishes to try and get people into the movies, but they also had, you know, big widescreen processes.
Imported from the planet Melmac. Yes.
Actually, Melmac was one of the band leaders in the musicals at MGM. Never mind, I'm sorry. Anyway, but you had the Todd A.O. and CinemaScope, and then later, you know, Cinerama, as you mentioned. So 3D was one of the gimmicks to try and get people back into the theater, and I'm not sure that it was unsuccessful in that. At least it got people thinking about going to the movies again.
We want you to weigh in on what you're looking forward to or looking aghast at in the movies for 2008. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email us, talk@npr.org. And let's begin with Paul. Paul's calling us from Toledo in Ohio.
Hi, Neil. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too. My question, I probably know the answer to, unfortunately, but I'm wondering if they're going toward trending toward more CGI, not so much the cartoon type CGI, but the Beowulf is a good example. I find it very difficult to watch these CGI movies that attempt to be realistic, so to speak, try to look
CGI, like, of course, computer-generated imaging.
Right.
Yeah, I find it difficult to watch these movies where they try to make it look like live action with CGI, and I'm hoping that they're not going to be trying to do that until they've perfected it. But
300 was another one of those.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a satire of 300 coming out this year, which may give you, Paul, exactly what you want. I have two answers to that question. Number one, yes, you know the answer. Of course, that's going to increase. And as folks do perfect it, the fear, of course, is that, you know, computer generated images are going to replace actors for real. And for real may be the wrong phrase there, but but that's number one. But number two, don't forget the kind of visual landscape in which we live. And there are millions and millions of people, younger than I certainly, who look at video games a lot, who look at other different kinds of CGI moving images. And so they're probably less uncomfortable with it, I'm guessing, than we may be. But it's only going to be on the rise.
So you're telling me stop being so old.
No, I'm telling you, see if you can get a used PlayStation.
All right, thank you.
And enter the world where everybody's got six-pack abs.
Speaking of younger people, though, Neil, one of the things if that's not particularly technological, but it's programmatical, that if I were a Hollywood publicist, and my mother raised me right, I'm not, but I would be telling you that one of the trends is family films. This year, or I should say last year, 2007, there was really some evidence that films with G and PG ratings did well. Hairspray did, Shrek 3, Enchanted, the second National Treasure film, Book of Secrets, Ratatouille.
That's just out, yeah.
Yeah, and they did well. And so there are a lot more things on the slate coming up that are that kind of film, Where the Wild Things Are. Disney has a new Chronicles of Narnia film or two coming up. Prince Caspian is the first one of that. And I don't know what kind of rating Speed Racer is going to get, but that's by the Wachowski brothers who did Matrix. So there seems to be a trend. It'll be worth watching to see if it really is.
And this may be just late in the year, but every once in a while, after watching a whole year of absolute dreck come out of Hollywood, to suddenly see Sweeney Todd and Charlie Wilson's War come out within a couple of weeks, it gives you faith.
Well, the end of the year is always kind of the awards season. At our theater at the AFI Silver right now, we're running the Coen brothers' new film, No Country for Old Men, and Juno. Soon we're going to be running There Will Be Blood, which was released before the end of the year. And as usual, toward the end of the year, the films that one thinks of as of greater artistic quality kind of show up. I mean, total dreck, you may be using as a term of art. There are a lot of really good... Hollywood, as I always argue, has a great track record of making good films.
Mm-hmm.
If 2% of all the films made in Hollywood are really artistically worthy, and I think it's a lot more than 2%, that's a pretty big percentage of things that will outlive their own generation.
Well, I must admit, I do go to films like Transformers and generally enjoy them.
So what's your complaint?
Well, it just reminds me of Andrew Sarris's famous comment if foreign films, independent films these days, you know, may hold the very highest A-plus ratings for Rules of the Game and things like
right,
that.
Right, right.
The categories of A-minus through C-plus are completely dominated by Hollywood.
I think that's right. And actually, one of my colleagues at the theater just said to me this week, because we've been doing good business over the holidays, he said, were you in the audience when these big classics came out, like The Godfather and I said, yeah, but one didn't know at the time that they were classics. You know, you just, that time will tell. You never know.
Let's get another caller on the line. And this is Tanai. Tanai's with us from Stigler in Oklahoma. Is that right?
This is Janae from Stigler, yes.
Okay, I'm sorry I mispronounced your name. Go ahead, please.
Well, I would just like to say that my family and I have really enjoyed the return of the musical. My daughters just love Hairspray and then High School Musical, which isn't on the movie screen. But we just love it, and it's family entertainment that we can all enjoy together.
Sweeney Todd, another musical. It may not be family entertainment.
True. We haven't taken the kids to see that one yet, but I might see it without them.
Well, let me play you a clip promoting a film that's coming out next year and ask you if you might be interested in going to see this.
Hey, everyone. it's Miley, and right now I've got a special announcement. As you may know, I've kicked off the Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus Best of Both Worlds concert tour featuring the Jonas Brothers. And now we're going to film the concert and turn it into a 3D movie. Tickets are available now. You can see the concert in our Backstage Adventures only in theaters and only in Disney Digital 3D. See you there.
Coming to theaters in Disney Digital 3D.
And that combines, I guess, two of Murray's categories, not only 3D, but a family film. Will you and your kids be going to see the Hannah Montana concert?
No, I mean, I think if...
Oh, I can't imagine that my daughter would let me miss.
Well, you were asking Janae, not
I
me.
I was asking okay, Janae, good, yes. Yeah. You can go, too.
Yes, you know, thank you. I'm more likely to go to... I think the musical I'm waiting for is, even though it's not really up my alley, the cast is so extraordinary that they're doing the film version of Mamma Mia, which is based on ABBA's music, and it's got Meryl Streep and Pierce Brosnan and Colin Firth and Skellen Skarsgård and Christine Baranski. Something's up.
Janae, thanks very much for the call, and have a good time at the movies.
Thank you so much, Neil.
We're talking with Murray Horowitz about the next big thing in the movies. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Murray, I guess we can't go too much farther without saying, what movies? Writers aren't writing any of them.
Well, I think that's, you know, you raised that at the beginning of this segment, and I think it's something that we don't know yet. The writers have now been on strike since November 5th, I think. So entering the third month of the strike, at full disclosure, I'm a member of the Writers Guild as well as the Directors Guild. And that's the sort of the other shoe that folks in Hollywood are waiting to drop. The directors have said that depending on how things go with the writers, they may start their own separate negotiation. And we'll see what happens. But so far, I think most would say that it hasn't had a huge effect on the movie business, certainly not so big an effect as it's had on the television business. But things are pretty paralyzed out there right now. And it's
amazing how far in Hollywood, in the Los Angeles area, how many businesses this affects.
It's, you know, we always say about Hollywood that it's a company town, and it sort of is. It's like in Washington, they say, you know, the company's the government. But it's certainly not a one-company town, but it is a huge effect.
Hmm. Here's an email we have from Ken in Cleveland. Three words for what I'm looking forward to in 2008, Batman in IMAX.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people are looking forward to The Dark Knight, which is, help me, Neil, I'm drawing a blank. I can see him right in front of me who's going to be playing Batman. But this is...
it's not Christian Bale again.
Yes, thank you. It is Christian Bale. And this is there's a trend that shows no signs of abating. Anything based on a comic book. I mean, the shows coming out, the films coming out that are based on comic books in the next little while. There's Iron Man, and then there's The Dark Knight. We mentioned the Incredible Hulk. There's a bunch of them, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with the new with the process. There aren't that many screens that can show IMAX feature films, but they generally, as I said, with the Tim Burton film, they re-release, they do well. So
I hope The Dark Knight is the Frank Miller version.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And he, of course, was also co-director, but also the creator of Sin City, and he wrote and illustrated 300.
And if I'm not mistaken, he doesn't always participate in the film versions of his works. So this really will be, you know, I'm with Ken. This is an interesting thing. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
And I think somebody optioned another book of graphic novel of his called Ronin. Anyway, so here's an email from Jim in Fort Collins in Colorado. Netflix now distributes part of its catalog as digital downloads, and YouTube is a phenomenon. Gradually, the chasm between these two will fill in with a whole range of private film projects, community theater productions, small-scale documentaries, and the like. It's going to become more difficult to distinguish between professional, paraprofessional, and amateur productions as distribution channels get fuzzier. Unless they give away Melmac.
I think that Jim's on to something. I mean, he's more courageous than I am, and I'm not going to make an absolute prediction that it will happen this way or that way. But there's a quotation from the French poet and filmmaker Jean Cocteau, who said that film will never be an art form until cameras and film are as cheap as pencils and paper. And I disagree with him. I think he was one of the people who helped prove that film was an art form
already,
before
yes.
then. But it's true. It's not quite pencils and paper, but filmmaking materials are in the hands of more people now than ever before. And the gap between, as Jim says, between the professional equipment that's available to somebody and what's available to you and me, you know, just going to a big box store, is really not that big a gap. So I agree, and I would like to think that the more people have these tools and the more people learn how to use them, it's another argument I would argue for personally for arts education, because there are kids who aren't that literate in screen language, and they've got to know how people select shots, how people edit audio, how people combine things to make what they see on the screen. It would be like the 15th century in, or the 16th century in Germany, and somebody invents a printing press and you don't know how to read and write.
And finally, are we going to see a remastered 3D Star Wars?
Yes. Well, according to George Lucas, according to Lucasfilm, we are, and he's going to start with the very first one, which was episode four, right?
Four, yes, which is very confusing, and there's going to be generations wondering, what?
Exactly so, especially if they try to run them in order, which we've done, actually. But it'll be great to see. I mean, I'll be one of the... Now, there's a classic that I do remember lining up outside a theater in Seattle, Washington in 1977 to see, and I'll be lining up again if they do it in 3D.
You run them in order. That way you can come in at halftime and not miss a thing. Murray Horowitz, COO of the Silver Theater, AFI's Silver Theater in Silver Spring here in the Washington, D.C. area. As always, Murray, thanks very much for being with us.
What a pleasure. Thanks again, Neil.
This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Tatooine.